Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Today we're in part 173 of How to Have God's Life Living in You, and this is program number 275. So if you'd like a copy of it, we have CDs and audio tapes, and Sharon at the end of the program will tell you how you can get a copy of it. It's absolutely free. If you can send a donation, we'd love it because we use all the money for the ministry. And we can get into all the world a lot faster with these dynamic messages, tapes, CDs, literature, radio program, and newspapers. We can evangelize the entire world very fast. Now we have some testimonies, and then we have an expose on the Antichrist, the Roman Empire, which has so many secret arms or offshoots, secret clandestine organizations like the Ku Klux Klan, the Vatican hates Jews and also blacks, and they don't like people to know it, but they hate homosexuals as well. And we don't hate them. We preach the gospel to them. If they don't receive it, they're going to hell. That's what the Bible says, the Word of God. And so we do is preach the gospel where we can show them how they can become born again of the Spirit. The evil spirit got into them when they were little children. Nobody is born a homosexual. No one. But the Satan, evil spirits get into these people when they're just little children. And he does that. Satan does that because he knows that God wants to use those human bodies to live in and work in. But right now let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask the Lord to anoint this service. Heavenly Father, our Lord and our God, we thank and praise your wonderful holy name. We thank you, Lord, you created the heavens and the earth, and we see how you show that the human flesh is weak in that you gave Adam and Eve the power to resist Satan, and you gave them the instructions to be able to live forever. But they did the same thing that the people are doing today. They're listening to Satan, who says there is no heaven or hell, there is no death, we're not going to die, we're going to live on forever, we're the age of Aquarius, and all this ridiculous stuff. Clap your hands or raise your arms up and worship the devil is what most people are doing today. And the Bible says that the whole world, Father, your word says that the whole world would be deceived by Satan, and you stated that Satan's seat is in Rome. That's where he sits. That's the headquarters of the one world government, the one world cult church, and the news media. Lord, we ask that you open up, and some people just don't want to hear that because they've been trained as Catholics all their life, and there's many nice Catholic people. We are not against Catholic people. It's just the doctrine and the fact that the Lord says that the hierarchy in the cult sits in Rome, and that the people in there, the laity, or the people that just go to the church or cult, they see that they're talking about Jesus, and they see all these statues in there, which is an abomination to you. And they pray to Mary, which is an abomination to you because she can't hear. She's just a little dead Jewish woman that you used as an incubator to bring forth Jesus, who really it is that we should be praying to you through Jesus. And we need to be born again in the Spirit. And the people that I've witnessed to, Lord, and that you've witnessed to through me, that were Catholics and are saved now, they told me, and I've heard thousands of testimonials, that The Vatican, the Catholic cult, does not preach salvation messages. They don't preach that you must be alive in them, and that they must read the Bible, because these are your instructions to be able to tell whether they are they can tell in the scriptures that the things that they're doing in the Vatican, in the church, the Catholic church or cult, really it's a cult, that the things that they're doing are so wrong, they're actually blasphemous, and that they are things that anger you. Your wrath is building up in you now to where you're going to, because of the fornication or the false doctrine that they've been teaching the people in this world, you're going to pour out your wrath because the people of the world are not seeking you from your word. The King Solomon was told by his father, King David, that if he seeks you through your word, he would that you would be found of him, by him. And so, if everyone would just read the Bible and stop listening to preachers, teachers, evangelists without checking them out. Now, look, Lord, that I want everybody to check me out. And it's just amazing how the Catholic hierarchy does not want people reading the Bible. Because people will find you if they read the Bible, and they're going to then realize that they've been hoodwinked, that they've been lied to, that they are on the wrong trail, the wrong path. Straight is the way, narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life, and very few find that path. You are the path. You are the way. You are the truth, and you are the life. Any other doctrine other than your word, the people that preach it are accursed. So, Lord, open the minds, the hearts, and the souls, the spirits of everyone in Radioland, so that their understanding can be open and that they begin getting the wisdom of God, which is the fear of the Lord. The fear means that we fear not to keep your commandments because we know that your word is true. And those that don't keep your commandments are going to spend eternity in hell, and then death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And so you've sent myself and many others to teach this to the inhabitants of this earth. And I pray that many of you in Radio Land, the people in Radio Land, Lord, will get a hold of you and get saved, and then begin doing the same thing that we're doing, is evangelizing the people of the world that their souls might be saved. Father, we ask that, and that the church be strengthened from whatever it is that you bring forth in this message tonight or today or this morning. We ask it in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
All right, now, here I am again to sing for you. I'm working on a building.
Well, I'm working on a building. It's a true foundation. Well, I'm holding up the bloodstain. Battle for my Lord. Well, I never get tired of working on the building. Well, I'm holding up to heaven, oh yeah, to get my reward. My reward. Well, I'm working on the building. It's a true foundation. Well, I'm holding up the bloodstain. Battle for my Lord. Well, I never get tired of working on the building. Well, I'm going up to heaven, oh yeah, to get my reward, my reward. Well, I'm working on a building. It's a true foundation. Well, I'm holding up the bloodstain. Battle for my Lord. Well, I never get tired of working on a building. Well, I'm going up to heaven, oh yeah, to get my reward. Well, I'm working on the building. It's a true foundation. Well, I'm holding up the bloodstain. stand before my Lord. Well, I never get tired of working on a building. Well, I'm going up to heaven, oh yeah, to get my reward. My reward, well, I'm working on a building. It's a true foundation. Well, I'm holding up the bloodstone, standing for my Lord. Well, I never get tired of working on a building. Well, I'm going up to heaven, oh yeah, to get my reward. My reward.
Oh, yes, my reward. Mm-hmm. Okay, you know, everybody, when you hear me singing like that and rejoicing, y'all should be raising your hand or clapping your hands and singing right along with me. Amen. There's nothing that makes the devil more angry than when you're praising the Lord and you're very happy. And when you praise the Lord, the joy of the Lord comes down into the power of God. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen?
Amen.
So if you don't feel so strong tonight spiritually, if you're depressed or if you're sick, when you really know if you're saved, you're healed. And the Lord became a curse for all of us, so that if you're sick, that's a curse. And that curse, if you believe, is on the Lord. He took all of our curses away. And especially the curse of having to go to hell, having to die, because we never die. You know, it's an amazing thing. I felt the spirit leaving my body when the Lord first spoke to me and proved to me that he existed. It went out of me and in and out and in of me. And there's actually, it doesn't hurt to die. It's because the spirit just leaves your body and there isn't any pain in that at all. It has happened so subtly that, and there's nothing that you can do to stop it from leaving your body, this, your soul, your spirit. I mean, you can curl up into a fetal ball, and it still won't stay in you. It'll just take right off. And so no one can stay the hand of the Lord. When he says your number is up, it goes out of you, but it won't hurt. That is, unless somebody tortures you to death. And then if you're really a born-again of the Spirit Christian, the Lord will just make it short. You just pull the Spirit out of your body and you won't feel anything. Just like when Stephen saw Jesus when they were stoning him to death, he just said, I see Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
And the Spirit went out of his body and he was there with the Lord. The Lord comforted him and showed him, you know, it's nothing. Is what you're doing is stepping out of this disgusting body, except my body is not disgusting. Okay? I'm just, it was just a pun. All right, and so, but we step out of this temporal body that keeps getting older every second and keeps getting maybe a little weaker every second, with the exception of mine. I still probably am I'm pretty strong still. Like Moses was at 120 years old. I mean, his eyes were not dim, and he was as strong as you can get as for a human being. And the Lord had to take his life because he ruined a very important figure or type or symbol when he struck the rock twice. The rock was symbolic of Jesus, and Jesus was to only be smitten once, and Moses smote it twice, which might make people believe that Jesus will die again for you. But Jesus said, I am he who was dead. I was dead. But I'm alive now and forevermore. I'm not going to come back and die again for people after they sin. Now, a lot of people that have committed adultery and fornication and all these, become homosexuals or lesbians after they've been saved, the Lord is not going to come back and die for you again and shed his blood. Once was enough. Once was enough. That's why it's so important for you to pour the Word of God through you on a daily basis, because the Word of God strengthens you and keeps you alive spiritually. If it's like the same thing when blood is flowing from your body. When you first of all, it's like when you start letting the Spirit of God flow through your veins, through your body, through your spirit, through your mind, then you die. You die out from the Lord, and His Spirit leaves you, and you wist it not. You don't know it. It happens because the Spirit is like a dove. It doesn't come into you like with a abrasiveness. And it doesn't leave in an abrasive manner. You allow God, which is Christ, His Father, and the Holy Spirit leave you, and you're not aware of it because you're not letting His Spirit circulate through you. Now, if your blood stops circulating through you, you're dead. Your blood, if there's no circulation of blood in your body, you die. A lot of people wonder, why am I sick and getting sicker every day when they don't exercise and they don't eat the right kind of food? You're killing yourself. People must exercise in order to keep the blood flow going through your bloodstream, and you must read the Word of God and seek the Lord and serve Him on a daily basis, or the Spirit stops flowing through you and you're spiritually dead for eternity. And the Lord says that death, all those that are dead, and those that had preferred to go to hell rather than to have the blessings of the Lord, and they reject His mercy, He said that those kind of people are dead in their sins and trespasses after they've backslidden. They've fallen away from the Lord, and they walk no more with Him. In other words, they don't circulate in the ministry. They don't circulate on the streets. By when He moves on them, they don't open their mouth when it's time to witness to somebody. They have their own philosophy that they won't witness, they won't testify. Then there's a class of people that love to, when they know that they're not right with the Lord, they like to pull the people that are doing the work of the Lord down to the gutter with them where they are. And this isn't going to help you. I mean, to try to tear down people of the Lord, or to try to tear down churches, or try to destroy churches, or bomb them, or run them out of town, so to speak. You know, there was a law. There's a law in the books about people wanting to run people out of town. It's called the Ku Klux Klan Act, and where people get a mob going, and it's a federal crime, and it's a crime against God, because people are not supposed to run people out of town. You're supposed to try to win their souls if you feel that they're doing something wrong. You're supposed to preach to them, and if you don't know for sure if they're doing it, you're to keep your big know-it-all, know-nothing mouth shut, because you're liable to wind up in trouble with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, but people will find out soon enough. Our life here is short. It's like vapory, grassy. It's like it doesn't last long. It's like a shadow. The shadow appears and it's gone. The grass appears, and then the sun comes out, and it's gone. It's like a vapor. It just appears. Did you ever see a tea kettle going on? You can see the vapor going up. It doesn't last long. And that's what it's going to seem like when your life is over, because all of us have an eternal spirit in us. We're going to spend eternity either in heaven or hell. And so we always feel that we're going to live forever because our spirit feels that way. And that's true. But remember one thing from the wisdom of God, that it's going to either spend eternity in heaven or in hell. So be careful what you do with your life, because whatever you do, we don't live unto ourselves. Sharon, read a little bit of that which I laid down yesterday. We don't live unto ourselves. Everything that we do, there's a consequence. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, if a person rings their nose, the Bible said it's going to bleed. And if you don't believe the Bible, then ring your nose and see if it happens. Okay, let's get all together now. One, two, three, go. Ring your nose. Okay, did it bleed? I'm sure it did. Okay, now go ahead and read what we wrote yesterday.
We're living in the world that God created. When God got into action, the worlds were created, the heavens and the earth. Actions, every time we do something, there are consequences that come with it.
Right. If the Bible says that your tongue has the power to bring people to life by preaching the gospel to them, or your tongue has the power to put people to death. And the Lord said, if you're a Christian, you're going to use your tongue to bring forth life. You're going to preach the word of God. You're going to do what the Lord says. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, continue on, please.
God created the world.
Yes, he did. That's a proven fact. Then what?
Whatever we do is going to affect ourselves and others.
Right. If you sin, see, the word of God created the earth, and the word says, if you sin, you're going to die. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through his Son, Christ Jesus. So you can say, well, I disbelieve the word of God, so I'm going to see if it'll bring forth death. That's maniacal. Amen?
Amen.
It's like insane, a retard, or like a moron. Taking instructions from Satan, just like Eve. Okay, then what?
The Apostle Paul said, I'm paraphrasing, remember that you cannot ignore God and get away with it.
No, you want to ignore God is the word of God. So if you ignore the word of God, you say, well, how does God know we're ignoring? Because he knows everything. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're saying. He knows if you're reading his word and doing what his word says, or if you're reading his word and ignoring what it says. Because the Bible says that the word of God is God. In the beginning was the word. In the beginning, before anything else was the word. And the word was with God. And as a matter of fact, the scripture says the word was God. In the first chapter of John. And then, a little bit later in the chapter, verse 14, it says that, and the Word became flesh. He came into the world having genuine human flesh that had genuine human blood in it. It wasn't a blood that was from heaven. It was a blood. Of course, everything comes from heaven. Even the blood in us came from heaven. Even the breath of life that's in us, the temporal life. And so we have blood flowing through our veins. If we stop exercising and we just sit still, especially as you get older in years, that circulation is going to stop. And if you stop reading the Word of God and praying, your spirit will stop circulating. The Spirit of God will stop circulating through you, and you're going to be eternally dead. You're going to be open season for the devil to enter into you. Okay, then what, Sharon?
You cannot ignore God and get away with it.
No, you can't. Because if you don't read, Satan will come, and you won't have any spiritual power, the power of God in the Spirit living in you to mortify the flesh. You'll be put in a circumstance where somebody is there. You might be married, and you might think, well, there's a hunky guy, and he makes a pass at you, and all of a sudden you wind up in the sack. And then you, when it's all over, you say, oh, my God, I've committed adultery. And then it happens again. You say, well, I'm already gone anyway, and you just keep committing adultery. and the spirits, seven spirits, worse than the first one that was cast out of you, enters you, and there's no way for you to be forgiven anymore. It's impossible, the Bible says. Okay, and then what else, Sharon?
You cannot ignore God and get away with it. That's like non-action. But it's actually an action.
It is an action. It's an action of denial of the Lord. Then what?
Your will decided to do that on its own.
And he says, if you deny me, I'll deny you. You kill my dog, I'll kill your cat. Do you understand? I would think so. You can't get away with anything with the Lord. You can't hide from him. You can't run inside the house. He goes right in there with you. Okay, then what?
If you ignore God, which is the word, you're not going to get away with it. You'll always reap what you sow. It's good to read that in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7.
Read it, please.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Okay, so if you sow sin, you're going to reap corruption. If you sow a carrot seed in the ground, it's not going to come up a watermelon. And the carrot seed could be very little, but when the carrot grows up, it's big. So when you sow into sin, the corruption comes back thousands of times more powerful than the little sin that you sowed. Now, I realize that there's a lot of preachers today that are saying God has forgiven you for your past sins, your present sins, and the sins of the future. They're liars. Okay, next, Sharon.
If you're driving a vehicle, especially with others in it, or a school bus or something, under the influence of drugs or alcohol, or letting children play in a dangerous place, or with something that is flammable, with matches, that could bring very tragic consequences. So also, it's your actions that transgress the moral and ethical code of God, or the boundaries that he has established.
Then you're going to be responsible for it at the judgment bar of God. Again, there are consequences to everything you do. If you do good, the things that the Lord says, there's good consequences. But if you do evil, there's evil consequences. Okay, then what, Sharon?
It's your actions that transgress the moral and ethical code of God or the boundaries that he has established, or your actions don't do that. All these codes, the moral and ethical boundaries, are set by God and they're established by God.
Yeah, everything in the Word of God is established in heaven. It's not going to change. God doesn't make new rules and regulations. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when he says the soul that sins shall surely die, which means spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire, burning forever and ever and ever, because that's what eternity is. It's forever. And most of the people, because you remember, your soul knows that it's going to spend eternity forever somewhere. Because most people don't believe they're going to die. Because Satan sowed that into their brains. But, you know, it's amazing when people think that. I ran into a person on the street in Hollywood Boulevard when I was distributing literature there with my deceased wife, Susie. And one guy says, I like it hot. I don't mind if I go to hell. I said, it's because the hotter it gets, the better I like it. I said, well, that's a dirty lie. He said, no, it's not. I says, well, let's go into Aldo's Cafe here and go in the back in the kitchen there, and let's lay your tiny head down on the grill and let's see if you like that. Come on. Well, no. I knew he'd refuse. Or let's pour some boiling grease all over your head. The lava in hell is way more hot. It's a lot hotter than grease. But it feels like grease cranked up millions of times more than any heat on this side of eternity. It is like a supernatural heat, and you can really feel it. It's worse than anything because you don't have the actual natural body down there. Your body's made into a body that will last so far as being tortured. Well, why would God? I'm not going to serve a God that could torture people. Well, that's why you're going to go there. Because the Lord warns you, if you serve him, you'll go to heaven. And if you don't, you don't like him, in other words, his word is him, well, then you're going to get, he warns you, he tells you that you're going to be tortured, tormented forever. Because his son, his only begotten son, happens to be the word of God. And if you hate him, the one that came and died for you, on a cross and got his beard pulled out for you and made a way of escape for you, and you hate the word of God, but then the Lord says, what would you do if somebody did all that to your child? Well, see, you wouldn't give up your child for the sins that I committed in the past or for any bum out on the street or any sinner that's a murderer. You wouldn't do that, but God is not like you. He's different. He knows how hard it is in hell because he invented hell. He created hell, and he made it. He's enlarging it now for the amount of souls that are going to be there. And a lot of people say, well, it's like a bad place, you know, but it's not that. You'll see that it's exactly the way that the Lord said. It's full of torments, tailor-made for every soul that's going there. And so if you hate his son, the word of God, then he hates you. You say, well, I thought God was love. Well, the Lord says he's love and he's also hate and he's full of wrath. Why don't you pick up the Bible and read it instead of just running off at the mouth? That's all you're doing is running off at the mouth. You know, I always think it's strange, you know, how people can just pretend what the Bible says and they never read it or anything. To me, I would never think to fly an airplane, a 747 or something like that. I mean, I'd have to be trained. And then you'd have to, you know, give me a new set of eyes because I don't see that well. All right, but even if I had good eyes, I would have to go through training. And people, it's amazing that they take the delicate and the powerful word of God and pretend that they know it. When they don't know anything about God, they don't know anything about human behavior, they don't know anything about eternity. And so, you know, the most important thing in the world, you just pretend that you know. It's like pretend you're happy when you're blue. No, if I'm blue, I know I'm blue. When I'm happy is when I'm preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ because I know it torments Satan. And it torments his people. They don't like to hear it. It's like molten lava. That's why they send presents to one another, the inhabitants of this earth, when the two witnesses are killed by Satan because their dead bodies are left 3.5 days in the streets and nobody even thinks or cares to bury them. The whole world watches them on television and they just call it a national 3.5 day holiday because these two tormented the people of the earth so much by preaching the words of life. Eternal life in the kingdom of heaven to them. And then you think that you should be not tormented throughout eternity? Come on, you know. God doesn't think the way you do. So you better start thinking about things like that if you want to be in paradise, the greatest paradise in the world. You stay there and then into the kingdom of God forever, where it's like ecstasy forever. And you can be boiling down in hell and screaming your head off and saying, oh, God, why did I? What good is that to say, why did I? Once your spirit leaves your body, there's no more repentance. Actually, when you blaspheme the Holy Spirit in this world, there's no more repentance. And yet people just continue going on and they want to destroy the work of God. Now, the Vatican has got many branches. The Vatican is where the devil sits. It says that that great red dragon, his seat is in Rome, Italy. And he has so many branches. One of them is the ACLU. There's another one called the Cult Awareness Network. It's a bunch of demon-possessed people that put up these different boards on the Internet that bring slanderous remarks about people that are getting the gospel out. There's the Ku Klux Klan. They are the ones that do everything they can to build up mobs. You've seen maybe that movie called Mississippi Burning. You can read the history of the things that they've done. And the Nazis, the skinheads, the homosexuals, the people, all these different branches of the Vatican, the Knights of Malta, the Jesuits. They have hundreds of branches. I don't know where the ACLU that are attempting to take the Word of God off of money. And the Vatican uses them to take the Bibles out of school. And the Vatican uses the Department of Labor. And all the different departments that you see in the United States that are faking it. They're saying they're the United States government, but in reality, pick up a copy of the Roman Canon Law in a Catholic Bible bookstore, and you'll see that it is not the U.S. government that's doing all these things to you, and they're placing nuns and priests in the public school system. And why do you think that they're able to be tax-exempt in this country? It's because they're the government. They can hand out tax exemptions to anyone they want, and they can take them away from anyone they want. The first things they do to destroy churches, they take their tax-exempt status away. In the Old Testament, it's against the law to take away, to make the children of God pay taxes. But what the Antichrist in Rome, where the beast, where the Antichrist, the actual Antichrist himself, his headquarters are, they have actually gave Communist Party tax exemptions, that Satan worshipers, it's right in their books, right on the Internal Revenue Service books. But for Christians, they take their tax exempt status away. You people, they've got you so busy doing business, they've taken the industry out of the country, and there's hardly any money to be made here, unless, you know, just for a few people. If you had time to study the Roman Canon Law, if you had time to understand and to read about, so that you could understand about Rome, if you could read the Bible, if you had time to do it, well, then you'd see that you've been had by these people. Your only relief, your only escape from that is to get into the Bible, to get into the Lord, and to keep his commandments, because God states that they will not be able to harm one hair on your head. Now, those two witnesses, until the Lord allows them to be killed by the devil, because he wants to show a miracle on the third and a half day, they raise up from the dead by the Spirit of God enters back into them, and they ascend up into the kingdom of heaven in a cloud, just as Jesus did. And that way, it should make people believe that if these two witnesses rose from the dead and went up into heaven in a cloud, as Jesus did, that certainly Jesus rose from the dead and ascended up into the kingdom of heaven. He ascended out of hell, out of the tomb, out of death, hell, and the grave. And then he was seen 40 days. And then he ascended up into the kingdom of heaven. And over 500 people saw it. And when they saw that, it's amazing to me that only 120 of them wound up on the day of Pentecost in the upper room after he, this God-man, had ascended. He was definitely dead and ascended up into heaven. Now they're saying that he was having sex and all this kind of, and that he never really died on the cross. Well, then, how is it that he, what are they going to say about him raising up from the earth into heaven in a cloud? God doesn't do that. He doesn't honor sinners, you know. That could only happen to the most righteous man in the world. And the two witnesses are very righteous, or else God would not do that for them. And so all the people that were having a ball because they're dead, I want you to know when that happens that you people better, you say, it worry, but it doesn't, worry doesn't help anything at all. The thing that helps is if you kneel down before the Lord and ask the Lord into you, into your spirit, so that you can have the power to ascend up into the kingdom of heaven on the last day. Because if the Spirit of the Lord, the same Spirit that resurrected Jesus from the dead, is not living in you, then there's no possible way that you can be raised from the dead and stand before the mercy seat of Christ and enter into the city, the holy city, the eternal city of God, where you live forever. No, there won't be any opportunity for you to do that. If you don't get the Spirit of God in you, and if you don't start letting the Lord get busy in and through you, because God created human beings for a holy purpose. He didn't create you to have a bull, because, you know, we're supposed to deny ourselves and take up the cross and follow the Lord. Well, you have to learn what that's all about, because it isn't really that much of a denying thing. Because you love, after the Spirit of God enters into you, to do the things of the Lord. Because you can see that the people that are corrupt in this world, they're not happy. You know, on New Year's Eve, there's a bunch of people sitting around and their balloons are going up. Rubber balloons, you know, that kids play with. And there's confetti hanging from the ceiling and everything. And you look at each other and say, are we having fun? If we are, then why don't we know it? Why aren't we happy? How can people be happy in a world like this where there's terrorists running around, they say, with A-bombs in their briefcases and everything? What possible happiness could you have if there's no hope that if a bomb goes off and you wind up on the wall, or several walls splattered all over the place, about your spirit, the body, the flesh profits nothing. But the Spirit of God in you gives you everlasting life. So I'm not worried about if a bomb goes off on me, because I know I'm born again of the Spirit and that I'm going to be in heaven the second, the split of the second that my spirit leaves my body. And so that gives me great comfort. That gives me great peace in a world that has no peace whatsoever. Okay? Now, let's switch over to the Roman canon law here for a minute, because I promised him yesterday that we would, and the Lord just puts me has got me doing that now. And so, and then we have a little bit of what the Cult Awareness, now this branch of the Vatican called the Cult Awareness Network, and the ACLU, and the Ku Klux Klan. Okay, go ahead.
The Church of Christ, according to the teaching
of... The Church of Christ is not the Vatican. That's the Antichrist, the Church of the Devil. Okay, then what?
According
and
to
this is in Roman canon law. They try to make themselves look holy, but there's nothing more unholy in the world than the devil, and that's the devil's cult. Then what?
according to the teaching of Vatican Council II, subsists...
See, they admit that they're Vatican Council II. Why do they have to keep changing their laws? Because God's Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It never changes. He's not going to pull out the Bible number 3 or the Council of the Bible number 4 or... The devil is the author of confusion. He's the author of confusion. He's a liar. And the truth is not in him. Wait till we get into the middle of this Roman canon law, because it starts telling of how, dictating to how we must be here in the United States of America. You say, oh my goodness, that isn't going to do any good to say, oh my goodness. Well, what is going to do good? Should we pick up arms and fight them? No. Yeah, we pick up the arm, which is the Word of God. That's the number one weapon, and as a matter of fact, Jesus didn't pick any other weapon than the Word of God. So we're harmless. We're like little lambs in a world that's filled full of wolves. And so therefore, we have to walk in the Lord's wisdom in this world if we want to get out of here in one piece and into the kingdom of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
So, then go ahead. That's some Roman canon law here again.
The Church of Christ, according to the teaching of Vatican Council II, subsists in the Catholic Church, which is governed by the successor of Peter.
No, Peter would never be involved in that church. As a matter of fact, Peter was a Jew, and he was, after he got converted, then he became one of the ringleaders of all the Jews, and he was the one that brought salvation into the Gentiles, because the Lord showed him a sheet coming down from heaven with all these different animals on it, which were representative of different nations. And that happened, and it happened again and again. And so Peter said, no, I've never eaten anything that was unclean. He said that, and the Lord showed him that this Cornelius showed up, who was a Gentile, and then Peter knew that it was all right to talk to Gentiles and to preach to them and teach them the way of the Lord and to pray them through, and that they should be able to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That was not the Catholic Church. That was the church, the born-again, Spirit-filled church of the Lord. And that church was born on the day of Pentecost, when they were, the 120 of them were all filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There isn't anything Catholic about that at all. There isn't anything satanic about that at all. To say that the Holy Spirit is sitting there in Rome, in the Vatican, is like blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and there's no forgiveness at the judgment bar of God for that or here in this world. Okay, continue on.
Which is governed by the successor of Peter and by the bishops in communion with him.
No, we have communion with the Lord, not with bishops or the successor of Peter. Peter was the only apostle that was married that it mentions in the Bible. His Jesus healed his mother-in-law from a fever. Now, if he was the head of the Catholic cult, well, then, why would he get married? Okay, then there was just a thing on the History Channel showing historically how the first houses of prostitution were the nuns, the nunneries, and that the priests believe that it's that they're holy angels because they can have sex with them, the ones that are not homosexuals. Otherwise, they get together with these little altar boys. And then they have the unmitigated gall to point their finger at anybody on this earth. That's the biggest hypocrisy in the world. Then what else?
Nevertheless, many elements of sanctification and of truth are found outside its visible confines.
Sanctification means that we separate ourselves from the Vatican, that we separate ourselves from every religion, because religion is not of the Lord, it's of the devil, but salvation is of the Lord. So it's very good to be saved, to be born again of the Spirit, but not to be entangled with sinners. Now, these people, they think that you can be saved by saying a few Hail Marys and by praying to Mary and to pray to statues and to sprinkle some water on you or to light a candle, but only, or to pay some money. But the Bible, God's word, which is God, says only the blood of Jesus can take away sin. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so now let's go over to the Cult Awareness Network thing. We've got 2 minutes to do that. Okay, go ahead and start reading.
Cult Awareness Network and American Family Foundation Interlocking Directors, Members, Criminal Activities, and Objectives.
So this is another branch of the Vatican. Okay, and they're like Jesuits. Then go ahead.
The Cult Awareness Network and their affiliates are branches of the Vatican, which the Vatican uses for maligning people who believe in the wisdom of the Bible rather than Roman canon law, and attack anyone and any church that believes in the wisdom of the Bible, and despise the treachery of the Vatican's One World Church, government, and media. The Vatican, by the Cult Awareness Network, established many websites which have become like internet bulletin boards.
Yeah, so the Cult Awareness Network is like an arm of the Vatican that the Vatican uses to malign true Christians. They say that they're dangerous, that they're cults, they're like Jim Jones, they're like going to kill anybody. But the ones that really kill people has been the Vatican historically. Ask the History Channel, because they go dig into history, that they're the ones that have murdered hundreds of millions of people down through the ages, and they're the ones that have started the One World Government that is bombing all these different countries in order to bring them to their knees and worship the government, the One World Government. And democracy, again, began with the Vatican. And we're going to get into that more and more tomorrow. The Ku Klux Klan. Now, it's going to even shock a lot of people that there's organizations like the John Birch Society that smokescreened for the Vatican. They say it's the commies. It's the commies that's doing all these things in the world. Now they're saying it's the Jews. It's the Jews. No, it isn't the commies or the Jews. The communism is just a branch of the Vatican. Ku Klux Klan is a branch of the Vatican. And the Jews have nothing to do, except there's a few bad Jews that have joined up with the Vatican because they want power and money and to be able to go home and tell their wives that they scored, you know, bragging, braggadocious. But hey, I see my time is up. Oh, how I wish we had 10 hours, 24 hours a day on the radio, because I'm fully loaded with the Spirit of God to tell you all these things. But right now, my time is up. And so those of you that want to get on the winning team on the side of the Lord, say to the Lord this prayer, because he hears everything, he sees everything. Say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my filthy sins. And I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know, because your word says so. Your word says you'll turn no one away, and that includes me. Therefore, I know you've heard me, and I know you've answered me, and I know I'm saved. Praise the Lord in this Christmas season for saving your soul." Now just raise your hands and praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And keep praising and thank the Lord, and get into the word. Get the word, the Spirit circulating through you, your soul, and keep it there. Okay, now Sharon, tell them 4 ways that they can receive a copy of this CD or tape, free of charge.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370, or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Okay, Frank Sinatra and Nancy Sinatra gave me a nice song. I like it. It's called Sunday School to Broadway. Until tomorrow, God bless you and praise the Lord. Make sure to tune in. We've got another Power Pack message for you. Sunday School to Broadway.
Well, she used to stand and clap her hands and sing Amazing Grace, while the tears of childhood innocence were rolling down her face. Mama prayed at night and raised her right and thought she knew the way. But it's a long, long way from Sunday school to where she is today. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be. When you sing a sinner's song, it's hard to find your way back home. But it's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. Sunday evening spent in a gospel tent down on her bended knees, where she gave a soul to Jesus and he set her spirit free. But the cold night air out on Times Square ain't what she felt back home. And it's a long, long way from Sunday school to New York nights alone. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be. When you sing a sinner song, it's hard you'll find your way back home. 'Cause it's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. Then her eyes grew bright in the cool, dark night, and a halo framed her face. And a passerby swore he heard her cry, did he hear Amazing Grace? They couldn't see the man who took her hand as she lay there in the street. And it's a long, long way from Broadway to a place at the master's feet. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be. When you sing a sinner's song, it's hard to find your way back home. Well, it's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. It's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway. She's a long way from the girl she used to be. When you sing a sinner's song, it's hard to find your way back home. Well, it's a long, long way from Sunday school to Broadway.